Welcome to episode 39 of the Earbuds. As always, this is Nick, and my guy Mark is on the other side of the internet. What's up, dude?
We're going to hit 50 this year.
We're absolutely going to get hit 50.
Burning it up right now on a heater.
We're on a heater, and we should have recorded 2 days ago, but Chicago got hit with a Game of Thrones storm.
Yeah, everybody knows you can't record a podcast in the snow.
Right, just transportation goes down, internet stops working, your voice sounds weirder.
Well, yeah, we couldn't talk about Ventura, which is the album that we are currently going to talk about. It's a very summer-sounding album, and we can't talk about that in the snow, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, as Mark mentioned, we're going to talk about Ventura, the most recent album from Anderson .Paak. But first, we're going to discuss a couple of singles that were released from Lil Uzi Vert. They came out just last week. We've talked about Uzi, I think, 2 episodes ago, just when he, like, unretired and announced something on SoundCloud. I don't know what the fuck happened. That was a long time ago in internet years. But he came out with 2 tracks just last week. One's called That's a Rack, and the other is Sanguine Paradise. Did I say that right?
I think so.
What did you think?
I really dig Sanguine Paradise, actually. That's the one with the horn sample.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like that. That's a Rack. It's just kind of like Lil Uzi. I'm not the biggest like Uzi fan, and that just seems like just kind of the run of the mill Uzi song to me.
Yeah, that's fair. I really like Lil Uzi Vert, so. When you said there's one of the 2 songs I liked a lot, and then I listened to That's a Rack, and I was like, oh, that's not the one Mark likes.
No. Oh, EXO Tour Life has over 1 billion streams on Spotify.
Yeah, it's still pulling in that money for Uzi.
So this is a weird thing that, because I mentioned that I'm not the biggest fan, but I was perusing Reddit, and there's like, these like comments, there's like obviously like huge little Uzi fans, mm-hmm. and they're like talking about, they're like pissed that Sanguine Paradise, the studio version is like, oh, the leaked version was so much better.
Oh,
there's
God.
Like this huge like leak community around Lil Uzi Vert. It's like a lot of his stuff has been leaking, cause, you know, the studio troubles and stuff. And there's like all sorts of like studio conspiracies. Oh, it's so funny. It's
really?
Wild. Yeah.
Dude.
Like, they messed with this song to like make it worse. I was like, oh my God.
What? How did you find that?
I was just on Hip Hop Heads. Oh, dude, Reddit comments are crazy.
Do you have it up in front of you?
No, this was back on April 9th when it came out.
Back on April 9th. So long ago. Damn, I'm going to have to look this up later. Okay. If any of our listeners are little Uzi Vert leak heads, holler at us. I'd love to be a part of a community.
I mean, the leaks just get like posted on there, and I don't really bother listening because I'm not that big of a fan. But
well, yeah, he had like an Instagram comment that he deleted, but it was like when you leak these things, it takes longer for the album to come out.
Yeah, yeah, like this song was originally called like "Money Keep Coming In" or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, just like a weird thing that it's not isolated to him, but it seems like he's one of the artists where that kind of leaking and like dissecting these unfinished songs is biggest.
Yeah, follows him around a little bit.
Yeah.
I share your sentiment. That's a Rack is a passable song. Sanguine Paradise is really nice, but I will say that it has like one of the worst lyrics I've ever heard in a rap song.
What is it?
She ate my dick like a fish stick. Yeah.
Is that a reference to the South Park episode? I don't know.
I doubt it. I don't think so. So yeah, anyway, 2 singles came out. I think in promotion for what should be his album coming out like sometime this summer, Eternal Itachi. But we'll see. He's, as Mark said, surrounded by controversy. And that leads us right into the main show. Quick pod today. We're going to talk about Ventura from Anderson .Paak. Is the rap singer, the hook fast, real live crime, big son of a gal. Heart made of stone, why you grew so cold? Cause my girl up and gone, she'll be back in the morning. Go on, mama, take your trauma. Seems like I can't live without her. I'm aching more, cause my heart is broke. Cause my love went wrong. Yeah, another bag and she left me in the mold. Water bubble over stove. As I was dreaming of a bag, and I woke, you was starting to snore. Fuck your ass. And in the bed full of cash, you slowly rolled over and whispered back to me. That's just the way things have to be. So that sample is the song What Can We Do, the last song on the album featuring Nate Dogg. Mark, why don't I kick this off to you? How do you want to start this discussion about our boy Anderson?
So I really like the album. I also just kind of this weird case where I really enjoyed it, but I don't have a ton to say about it.
Interesting.
It's like a just solid vibe all the way through. I like the return to more of the Malibu type soul sound. It's a brisk, nice, quick listen. But just nothing really stood out to me.
Yeah, maybe it's the release of it and timing and like the sound of it that's more interesting to me than the actual songs or lyrics. So this is the third studio album from Paak, who some would say is a singer, rapper, drummer, perfect person. And there's the follow-up to Oxnard, which was just released in November. I mean, I kind of want to start there, I guess. Like, how do you feel about the quick follow-up to Oxnard, which like didn't receive the greatest critical reviews, but it also like wasn't a dud by any means.
Right. So I'm curious as to, because I know after doing some looking, and we kind of discussed this on the last episode, he recorded this all after Oxnard. So I don't know if he just like was kind of on a roll and wanted to keep recording and just kind of return to this sound, or it was a sort of a conscious reaction to the reception that Oxnard got.
That's confirmed. He released all of this afterwards, or recorded everything afterwards.
Pretty much, from what wow. I understand. And I read that on Wikipedia. I read that Dr. Dre basically had much less involvement in producing this album. He still kind of oversaw it, but Paak in an interview said like he's basically like, yeah, you seem to have this under control. Kind of do your thing. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because I like this a lot more than I liked Oxnard, and it's much more of a return to what we had on Malibu, which is that soul funk R&B sort of vibe.
Right.
And Dr. Dre, I'm sure, was pushing him to experiment a lot, which is why Oxnard sounds weird and maybe people didn't love it.
Yeah,
but there's also a lot of people that do love it because he shows he's good at a lot of things. But like in my mind, I'd rather you be exceptional at that one thing I really like than good at a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to discount Oxnard or anything, so I do enjoy it. There's a lot of good stuff on there, but I in my mind it was the follow up to Malibu, and it just did not sound at all like that, and it was sort of that disappointed me for that reason, even though I do think it's a good album.
Yeah, so were you, to that point, did you have lesser expectations for this, and maybe that's why it, like, resonated a little bit more? Or, like, maybe. Was easier to digest? I don't know.
Resonated just because it did... I guess it satisfied me more because it was more of that Malibu follow-up that I was wanting. And what's interesting is I think if these had flipped and he did Ventura right after Malibu, I would have been like, oh, cool, he still got it. But maybe still would have been disappointed. just because I don't think this is nearly as good of an album as Malibu. My favorite, like, there's nothing that to me reaches the level of, like, Come Down or, like, Put Me Through or The Waters or anything. It's just, like, yeah, very solid all the way through. I do like Jet Black, King James, and Winter Circle a lot, but I don't know if they're gonna get as many, like, plays from me as, like, some of the Malibu standouts.
No, I second that. I think King James has the most replayability in its similarness to Malibu, because it seems like the most well-written song. But maybe that's a lie. But it kind of dives deep into, like, political issues, and it showcases his talent still. It's, like, not just kind of spoken word type of thing.
One of the criticisms I saw of Ventura is that the, like, lyrics are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really, like, I didn't love Malibu that much because I thought the lyrics were, like, super complicated or in-depth or personal or anything. I just really like the sound of it. And, like, it's a really good song.
Yeah, so but...
I don't know. I can't just knock any of his albums for that, I guess.
I think the counterpoint to that is that Malibu was written in, like, a frame of reference where he hadn't become famous yet. So, like, a lot of the songs are, like, I think they're more personal. And there's more stuff in there that other, like, regular people can relate to, because Oxnard and Ventura, a lot of the songs are just like, yeah, I'm rich and we've got some stuff going on. Like, yeah, there's not a lot of, like, meat to it.
That's fair.
Other than King James, in my opinion.
Yeah. I guess the more I listen to Ventura and Oxnard, actually, I do like them more and more. I just have to, like, accept that they're, you know, not as good as Malibu, but in their own rights are very good albums. I do think it is good. I'm happy that he's released kind of two very different stylistic albums in such a short time span, because now it is very much like, oh, where does he go from here?
Yeah, I agree. If he would have taken a lot of time off, I think people would have been like, well, what the shit's going on, man?
If Ventura came out like 16 months after Oxnard, then that would be kind of troubling.
Yeah, and you probably would you would put a lot more pressure on it to be good. Yeah. Whereas, like, in 6 months, it's like, oh, okay, he's, like, churning out music. He's, like, having a good time recording and just, like, putting shit together, which, like, is totally fine.
Like, yeah, I think all three of the albums are, the way they're kind of linked up chronologically, is a very interesting way of looking at how expectations, whether it's personal or kind of public, like, play into how albums are received.
How so?
Well, so Malibu was his breakthrough, so there's no expectations there. It's a very good album, and it's just critically acclaimed and adored. That's gets him his fans and his come up, and then that puts a ton of expectation on Oxnard, and you know, whether or not it actually is a misstep, he tried something different, and I think the heavy expectations, like, played a huge part in how that was received. And then Ventura just kind of is basically him being like, yeah, I can still do the other stuff too, and it's pretty warmly received, even though people are kind of like, oh yeah, he only, you know, he turned this around in 5 months, like, it's pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, like, the he turned this around in 5 months. I mean, if he became the future of, like, soul, R&B, funk, hip-hop, whatever you want to call, like, pencil Anderson .Paak into, like, I'm cool with that. If he released, like, 3 albums every, like, 18 months, like, sign me up.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit before.
For sure.
I want to be surprised if he's involved in some sort of, like, collaboration project, like a EP or album with somebody now. That seems like a cool step for him to take.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Because he is very versatile, so he can kind of grab anyone, or anyone could grab him and make a cool like collab album. So, do you want to dissect any of these songs, or
I just had kind of a
yeah, go ahead.
To that point, a general. A lot of the songs are structured in this sort of that soulful like Malibu R&B vibe, and then there's sort of like a breakdown or a beat switch, and then he does like drops a verse as sort of the outro.
Mm-hmm.
Is, and that structure wasn't super prevalent on Malibu or Oxnard. It's kind of unique to Ventura and the amount that he does it here. Like, what'd you think of that?
That's a good question. I thought it was a little weird. It's just unexpected. It was unexpected, and I've listened to it now like 3 or 4 times, and now that I know when it's happening, I do enjoy it. But yeah, like, I don't know if it was entirely necessary. The one song I really did enjoy it on was give me a second here, Chosen One.
Yeah.
Which I thought the first minute is kind of groovy, and it seemed a little bit offbeat to me. Like, it just didn't sound perfect, but the piano switches, it like comes in like a minute 30, it shifts beats, and there's like a little piano riff in the background, and like that I thought was great. And then I liked the last like 3 minutes of that. So I guess it just kind of depends on which part of the songs I'm listening to. But if you know what's coming, you can kind of get your way through it.
I thought it was just like an interesting sort of like structural motif, I guess, that kind of occurs throughout. But I don't mind. I just, yeah, just stuck out to me after the second or third time. I was like, oh, he's doing this again. Well, so you mentioned that the Nate Dogg song, to get into specifics, is one of your favorites. What do you think about, I guess, the use of him for the feature, and then the outro, the use of him there?
I don't know. It was definitely off-putting. Because, like, I wasn't really, again, not expecting it. Like, this album was full of things I just, like, didn't really expect. When I saw Nate Dogg on there, I wasn't really... He does like a more of a like singy chorus on this song.
Yeah, the hook master.
Yeah,
so I thought the use of like him for the hook was cool, but the conversation was like made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, the conversation at the end is weird.
I just like don't think it's. I mean, yeah, I get that he probably looked up to him. Growing up, even though Anderson .Paak is in his 30s, so he's not
he's
like super young or anything, but I guess, yeah, if that's what he wanted to do and it made him happy, it's whatever.
Yeah, like, I think it's just like another one of those things in this album that was like unnecessary, but like not, it doesn't like deal break it for me, you know?
Yeah, and it's
I don't know.
The literal outro of the album, so I just, you know, end the album a little early when I listen to it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all I've got for Ventura.
All right. Short, a nice short, sweet episode this week.
Yeah. What do we have up on the docket for
the next Let's pull up. What do we have coming up?
Let's plan this out on air. Oh, we should talk about Guava Island next episode.
Okay. Yeah, next episode, we're going to talk about Guava Island, and we're going to talk about the Pivot Gang album for sure that comes out this Friday. Show some Chicago love, and then I believe Lizzo comes out with an album, right?
Yeah, that seems like a good... And we'll reach back into our segment bag.
Yeah, this...
I'm sure it's not a 20-minute episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so thanks for listening. Follow us on all social media platforms. Check us out in the show notes. Our tags are in there. And then subscribe, download, and rate us. That'd be really sick. All right, see you, homie.